Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Allo Communications Studios today, ready to rock and roll on this Monday morning. I heard the guys on Good Morning NoCo talking about the time change thing. It doesn't bother me. When you have a kid, Angel, it just doesn't, for me, like, it doesn't bother me. I'm up at all, I'm all hours all the time.
Oh, see, I don't know if I caught up on sleep or if I'm still behind on sleep somehow, because I was waking up at all kinds of weird hours over the weekend trying to figure out the time. I woke up at like 2 this morning and I'm like, what time is it? Where am I? Do I have work? Yes, but weird.
It doesn't.
It's dark outside.
And I'm kind of with Brian on this, where I like at 4:30 or 5 or whatever and it's starting to get dark. It's kind of cool.
No.
I kind of like it.
I was like ready for bed at like 7:30.
And I was right there. I went
like,
to bed
I want
to like
watch
8.
This, you know, Sunday night football game, but yeah. Like, I'm ready to go to bed.
I quit. I think it was at halftime. I was like, I'm going to go to bed.
It's a good game,
too. I sported out. I watched a ton of stuff over the weekend. So, yeah, that's where it was. It was great. Great sleeping. And then I was fine this morning. Got up, got some exercise in, and here we are. Talking about another interesting weekend. Not for the Broncos. Broncos didn't play, so we don't have to talk about anything negative. It's the first week. There's nothing. There's no, like, big story. I guess Russell Wilson going to Mexico.
Russell went to Mexico for his bye week. So if you want to get at him for that.
Okay. You know how Friday I told you, dude, that people were going to freak out about his tweet? The tweet that just said, still working or whatever? Denver media lit him up.
No.
It just lit him up for
it's
that.
Friday. We're done with work.
That's what he said. He's like, why are you doing that? We're done. What is that supposed to imply? That
He's
other guys aren't working?
He's throwing his team under the bus.
It's not. I mean, it's
no one
just,
else is working as hard as Russ is on a 5 o'clock on a Friday.
It's just, you know, but when Michael Jordan says that stuff, like Kobe Bryant back in the day would say, no, I guarantee you, nobody's going to outwork me. Nobody's going to do that. We would be like, oh, man, goosebumps.
They don't have bye weeks in the NBA.
Yeah, but they have load management now. We're just ripping this dude to shreds. What a weird weekend it was, though. I mean, Buffalo loses. And, you know, I've got people coming at me, but do you still think Buffalo's the best team in the league? The Jets are not the Jets of old. This is a different Jets team. What are they, 6-3? How are they 6-3? It's amazing, isn't it? Josh Allen looked awful. You don't want to give him credit because now this is
I'll give him credit for beating the Bills.
That division.
That whole AFC East is up for grabs.
AFC East is interesting, isn't it? Nuggets were in action against the Spurs over the weekend. We've got Monday Madness here. We've got what? All the teams that I talk about in college basketball on a regular basis are playing tonight.
Everybody.
Is every team playing? Because, like, Baylor's playing right now. Like, they just started or whatever.
I think so. I didn't see any games yesterday, so I'm assuming today is the official start of NCAA basketball.
Literally everybody plays? Is that? That's got to be the case, because what are the chances?
Well, Baylor's up 61-21 right now.
That was a barn burner of a game. Is that how it's going to go tonight for UNC?
No.
At Houston?
Do you see the spread?
What is it, 24?
23.5.
You taking that? You taking the Bears?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's first game, so if there was a time to do it, this would be the time. I heard Tanner predict Dalen Kuntz is going off for 30 tonight.
Now, Tanner had a lot of bold predictions about the Bears last year.
How many 30-point games did he predict Bode? Every game,
like,
right?
Every game, Bode was going to go off for 30, and we love Bode Hume.
Oh, yeah, we do.
But you say Dalen for 30? I could see it.
He was shining pretty bright in their big games last year against the Arizonas of the world.
I'd imagine he'll be a little faster, got a new haircut, looks better, looks mature.
I like the haircut, man.
Matt Johnson's back.
Got
the young guys,
Dalen
Coach Smiley.
Kuntz. This should be fun. Houston is number 3. So my poll question, Method Flow Products poll question of the day, is at thewholeshow.com. Who is going to be the better team this year? CU, CSU, UNC, or Wyoming? I didn't put Air Force in there. It's fine. We dabbled with football. Time to move on to basketball.
Oh, to answer your question, yes, it looks like every single team is playing.
So just
today.
Every team plays on my... I probably
should
have known
tip-offs all the way until 9:59 tonight.
Wow. gambling on these kind of games is interesting, though, because it's the first game of basketball. It's tough. So 34% of the hooligans are saying Wyoming is going to be the best college basketball team this season between those four I just mentioned. Colorado is next. Colorado State is third. And the UNC Bears are only getting 8.7% of the votes. Where are we, Bears fans?
You guys are sleeping.
You got to get after it here.
Time
go
changed.
Vote.
Wake up.
Wake up, Bears fans. Go vote at theholeshow.com. I know football has not been great, but basketball, this is exciting. Steve Smiley continues to put together good basketball team after good basketball team. And the fact is, you've got Dalen Kuntz and Matt Johnson returning. And those two collectively have got to be, to me, the biggest story as far as we're... Because, you know, we heard the news about Grammy K. He's out for a while. We know Isaiah Stevens is out for a while. The Buffs, it's kind of a... You got a lot of youngsters here. I still think they're going to be good. I'm kind of the complete opposite. I think the UNC Bears might be the team to beat this year. They play... They don't play Wyoming, do they? That would be weird, I suppose, for Jeff Linder.
No, but they do play three CU, Colorado schools.
They play CU, CSU, and Air Force. And San Jose State comes to town, too. Mountain West team. So, I'm... okay, go vote at theholeshow.com. I need to see this change here. The UNC Bears should be much higher on this list. So, do me a favor. Go vote at theholeshow.com.
Another factor for the Bears... They have Jerry Schimmel calling their game.
Jerry Schimmel's going to be on the show at 12:30. Jerry Schimmel is back. We love what Blake Olsen and Aaron Rath have been doing for football. Jerry Schimmel is done with the Rockies for the year, obviously, and he's coming back to be the voice of the UNC Bears basketball team. We'll have him on the call tonight. Woo-hoo! I'm pumped for that one. And then we're going to have Jerry on the show at 12:30. To help promote that. Okay, UNC is now at 12%, so you got them in the double digits. Go vote at theholeshow.com. It's going to be a very exciting basketball season in this area. It is. And I do say this area, not just the state, but Wyoming as well. Graham being out is going to hurt, but I still think Wyoming is going to be a tough team. All right, so Angel, who's winning tonight? UNC's not beating Houston. Oh, come on, Angel.
It's game one. You never know what could happen.
Are you picking UNC to beat Houston tonight?
I don't think so. That number three definitely means a lot. ESPN has them at 97.6% chance to win.
Not happening.
Gonna be tough. I think they may sleep on this Bears team a little bit just because no one really knows them.
Wouldn't that be something? What would that would be
huge.
And because the Bears are like in the Big Sky, can they be nationally ranked? Could the Bears be nationally ranked? Because we know they can't get an at-large bid, right? Like, can they?
See.
Could they actually be nationally ranked?
Could you imagine?
Oh, I don't know. Can you figure that out? Can a Big Sky team be nationally ranked? And I don't think they receive an at-large bid. I think they're just, hey, one, you win your conference tournament and you get in. But I could be wrong on that. It's weird how we always... It's like baseball parks. They're all different. We all have different rules and regulations for it going forward. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Can you imagine if UNC found a way to do that? Whoo, man. Who else is going? We got CSU taking on Gardner-Webb tonight. That should be a Rams win, right? Wyoming's taking on Colorado Christian. That should be a Wyoming. Colorado Christian Cougars, Wyoming's going up against them. That should be a Wyoming win. UC Riverside taking on the Buffs. That should be a Buffs win. I think there's a darn good chance everybody wins tonight, except for maybe the UNC Bears. That would be amazing. Air Force is taking on Bowling Green. Tonight, I don't know. Bowling Green is -3. Why not? I don't know. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Do we find out? Do we know? Can a Big Sky team be nationally ranked? Because if they beat Houston, you would think that would put them up there.
I can't see why not. I mean, teams like Xavier and, you know, all these other like mid-tier schools can get ranked. So, I mean, it's possible.
I would think so.
Probably not number one if you beat Houston, but
so if UNC, okay, let's just if they let's
so
say they
Sports
win.
Illustrated has them ranked 237th.
So they are actually ranked.
Yes.
So if the Bears, let's say the Bears lost three games this year. Let's just say it. And they were ranked 23rd. Would they get an at-large bid? Or is it you have, I think you have to win. You have to win in for the Big Sky, they have to win their tournament.
Yes.
They can't get an at-large.
Yes. So the Big Sky has regular season champs.
But that's it.
But that doesn't mean anything.
And the at-large bid doesn't mean anything. Like CSU, Mountain West can take, depending on how the year goes, they could take one, they could take none if they wanted to. But if like the Mountain West was really good and they're beating non-conference people like crazy, then yeah, you could. Last year we thought there might be, what, three or four coming out of the conference. I think there was three last year. But not the case for you. So theoretically, UNC could go undefeated and win every game except for their Big Sky Conference championship game and then not go to March Madness.
Yep.
Ugh, that's stupid. I hate that.
Start a petition.
Start a petition. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Love working with FMS Bank. Check out their website for more. Go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. All right, the good for me. I mean, there was a lot of solids from the weekend, but I'm going to go. The Nuggets get the win over the Spurs on the weekend. Need to win those kind of games. They continue to play great at home. They're 4-0 at home, but this one's going to go to Bones Highland. He had 24 points, 7 assists, plus 8 in the plus minus category. He played 25 minutes. And help the Nuggets win 126-101.
Bones wins, and he hammers it. Bones takes a contested shot and knocks it in. Good pass. Bones for three. Quarter. And he's got it. Bones. Sling it under to Jordan, who puts it away. Bones pulls up and hits again. Bones launches. And he hits again. 5 to shoot. Bones. Boy. Oh, my gosh. There goes Bones. High stepping. Thing about Bones, you got to guard him wherever he is. Bones sidesteps high. Oh, Bones Highland.
Oh man, three words. My house city, baby. It's just like that.
When Bones is good, he's really good. And the fans get behind this guy all the way. Nuggets at San Antonio tonight. Some more of those road games. So that's why those games like that are very big for the Nuggets to win. The bad for me, okay, CSU loses to San Jose State, 28-16. This was actually a pretty good game. The Rams hung in there. They're down 2 scores, not 2 touchdowns, 2 scores with 4.5 minutes to go or whatever, however much time was left when they actually went for it. It's 4th and goal. On the San Jose State 2-yard line. How much time's left? I said 4. Why did I say 4? I don't know. But there was a lot of time left. 9 minutes or so. They go for it. They don't get it. They force San Jose State to punt it the next possession. The Rams go down and score. Clay Millen goes down. But we have a crazy throw to Torrey Horton. He catches it. Now the Rams, they go for 2, don't get it. 21-16. So if they would have kicked a field goal, they wouldn't have had to mess with the 2-point conversion. But then after the touchdown, San Jose State goes and scores anyway. So it changes how things were. But you do wonder, why did Jay Norvell go for it down 2 scores at that point in time? When they turned it over on downs, it was 21-10. Kick a field goal. It's an 8-point game. Make a stop, you go down, and you got to get. They went, like I said, they get the touchdown, went for 2, missed it, but maybe that changes things. I don't know. But it was bad because the Rams had an opportunity. You thought San Jose State was a 24.5-point favorite, and the Rams covered. I went 2-2 over the weekend, back to 500. So I'm not losing any ground, just not making any up. The UNC Bears now have lost 5 in a row. They lost to Portland State over the weekend. They were outscored 28-0 in the second quarter by the Vikings. What is going on with the University of Northern Colorado?
It's confusing because the last couple of games, they start out 14-3, 14-0, you know, They get a good possession, you know, two possession lead to start out, and then it just all falls apart. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and you're 2-7 on the year, 1-5 in the conference. Two games remaining for the UNC Bears, and what looked to be like they could be winnable games. What, Northern Arizona
at home, and then at Eastern Washington.
At Eastern Washington. What do we make of this situation now? Obviously, the Ed McCaffrey hire was a big move for the University of Northern Colorado a couple of years ago. It was kind of the move. I mean, Steve Adazi was hired by CSU. Carl Durrell was hired by CU a month later or whatever. But it was the Ed McCaffrey move that seemed to have more Coloradoans talking. And yet, 2-7 on the season, the best you can hope for is a 4-7 finish, which would be somewhat of a positive if you finish strong. But realistically, this is kind of what we were seeing with Ernest Collins Jr. without the fanfare.
Yeah, and they go into that, you know, 14-0 after the first. You give up 28. It's 28-14 at the half. They only gave up 7 points in the second half. So you lost it in that second quarter.
What happened in that quarter? I mean, 28-0.
Oh, they start off Zinicola, 67-yard touchdown run. Elijah Dotson found the end zone. And then they just gave up four deep pass touchdowns.
That's a rough go there. And the UNC Bears sitting at 2-7 on the year with two games to go. 22 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's basketball night here on a Monday night. We will have UNC at Houston right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, as well as 1310KFKA.com. You get to hear Jerry Schimmel back on the call for what should be a really fun season for the University of Colorado men's basketball team. 22 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffaloes beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Let's shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Their sports medicine physicians provide team and game coverage for the Colorado Eagles hockey team, area high schools, and dozens of rodeo competitors, as well as the team physicians for Colorado State University's sports team. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Check them out online. They can help you out as well. If they can help those amazing athletes, they can certainly help us regular folk at orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day in honor of a busy, busy college basketball day, specifically for the local teams here. Who's going to have the better season between these college basketball teams? Wyoming, Colorado, Colorado State, or Northern Colorado? And Wyoming is leading. Here, I'm shocked by this. Tells me a couple of things. That are we getting more listenership in the Wyoming area, or do you truly just believe that even if you're a CSU fan or a CU fan or a UNC fan? Now I'm starting to think maybe it was a good idea that we brought Cody Tucker on once a week and we do talk Wyoming football. I'm shocked by this. Where are the Bears fans? Come on, believe.
It's a little surprising. I'm starting to question if the Hooligans are even listening.
About the UNC Hooligans or what?
Any of them.
You don't think
we
have listeners,
Angel? Because if
you listen
to this program, you would know that the UNC basketball team is potentially the best team in the state right now. Out of those four, also consideration.
I'm willing to listen to the arguments, but I'm shocked that UNC is so far behind everybody else. That's where I'm shocked. Right, CU will be a 20-plus win team. CSU,
now, this isn't about a question about today's games. This is the whole season.
Right. This
Don't
is the season.
Confused.
Yes, because I think all the other teams might win today. I don't see it happening for the UNC Bears. Although, if that happens, man, shut her down for the season. That's it. Bears are in. Let's go. But give them an at-large bid. I don't think that works that way, apparently, but let's just change that. That is a weird system if they happen to pull off the upset and then they go on and have a monster season, like 28, 29 wins, and then they don't get an at-large. It's silly. But it is what it is. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Who will be the best college basketball team this season between Wyoming, Colorado, Colorado State, or Northern Colorado? All right, I want to take a short break. When we come back, the bye week is over for the Denver Broncos. What does it all mean? Russell Wilson, he was in Mexico, or is he back now, I guess, because the bye week's over, right?
I would assume he's back because they start practice in about 30 minutes.
Okay, so he should be back. He should be ready to go. They got the Titans coming up, and the Titans, they went at it with the Chiefs last night. And again, I stayed up for about the first half of that. They could not stop Patrick Mahomes from running the ball. I went back and watched the highlights this morning, and Mahomes just ran all over him. Derrick Henry ran all over him too, but it wasn't enough, and the Chiefs come away with the win. What do we know about the National Football League after the week? We still, of course, have Monday Night Football tonight, so we'll get to all that and more. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show. And, you know, sometimes you just need to not only get out of town for a while, but maybe out of the country. And the Colorado Avalanche did that. They beat Columbus back-to-back in Finland. They beat them on Friday, 6-3, and they won on Saturday, 5-1. It was kind of cool for Mikko Rantanen, a homecoming hat trick for him, and maybe one of the more convincing wins of the season for the Avs. That Friday game was crazy, though, the first one, because, what was it, 3-0? And then Columbus came back, made it a 3-2 game. It was back and forth for a second there, but it looked like at the beginning the Avs were going to run away with that one.
Yeah, good for the Avs to get some international exposure now. You take the Stanley Cup champs out and see the world, and now they're coming back home. I think Nashville is up next.
Not till Thursday, too.
Till Thursday,
so
yeah.
Weird schedule for sure, because it was weird. They played Saturday, October 29th at New York, and then they didn't play again until they made the trip to Finland on a Friday, November 4th, back-to-back, and then they just wrapped up Saturday. They won't play again till Thursday. So strange for them, because typically you see NBA and NHL 2, 3, sometimes 4 games a week, and yeah, the Avs didn't play until the end of the week last week, and they won't do so until this one as well. So, but the Avs so far, at least, 6-4-1.
13 points.
13 points.
Whatever that means.
It's dumb. Just go with the... Yes. But it was nice for the Avs to get away, do that. And McKinnon was good. That's what you want, Nathan McKinnon, to kind of get into that mode and take control. And the Avs are, you know what? Get away for a little bit. Maybe that's exactly what they needed. The Nuggets also came out victorious over the weekend. And those are the games sometimes you don't mind seeing when you don't have to really stress your starters out much into the second half. They just worked the Spurs on, what was that? Was that Saturday night? 126-101. We talked about Bones Highland being the good from the good, the bad, the ugly today. And yeah, Bones, when he's playing like that, he's pretty ridiculous. The Joker, I mean, like, he did most of his work in that first half. 21 points, 10 assists, needed 4 more boards to get to the magical number 80 in triple-doubles. Jamal Murray, quiet for him, 23 minutes. He had 13 points, 9 assists, though. But you didn't need it, you know, because you were seeing, I mean, you had Jeff Green playing 25 minutes, Bruce Brown with 20 minutes, DeAndre Jordan played 17 minutes, Bones Highland with 25, Christian Brown with 14. You got to see that bench play a lot of minutes in that second half, specifically that fourth, when you kind of had things under control. The Nuggets are 6-3 on the season and 4-0 at home.
We talked about that, how important those home wins were going to be because they're on the road so much. They start their four-game road trip here. But we talked about bringing that energy to your home crowd. And, you know, Bones feeds off of that so much, but it just creates such a fun atmosphere. And it makes people want to, you know, think twice about playing in Denver. Not just the altitude, but that crowd. And if they stay undefeated at home, you'll have that all season.
Four more home games in the month of November. Just four.
Yay.
And the rest are on the road. As you said, starting with a four-game road trip at San Antonio, at Indiana, at Boston, at Chicago. You come home for a brief stint against the Knicks. Then the two weird ones at Dallas in a row. Home against Detroit, at OKC, at LA Clippers. And then two home games against Houston in a row. A Monday and a Wednesday, essentially. And then things free up quite a bit. Things change around for you. You know, you got a lot of home games in the month of December. This, I'll tell you what, dude. I told you I wouldn't be shocked if they're under 500 by the end of November. I got to feel like you're ahead of schedule then if you can maintain 2, 3, 4, 5 games over that on the, you know, throughout this crazy road stretch in November, you can really set yourself up for a big opportunity. But it's tough when you're playing so well at home and you've only got four of those staring at you coming up in the month of November. It'll be very interesting to see how this one unfolds. But there's just so many positives. I did read this, though, from Mark Hisla in the Denver Post, that the Nuggets should consider starting Bruce Brown and letting Michael Porter Jr. be the big dog off the bench. Why? I like Bruce Brown, but you're just kind of starting to get the gel here. You're starting to get figured out.
And Michael's not really the big guy you want coming off a bench because he, as talented as he is, he can't really dribble the ball all that well. He doesn't have great handles. He's almost too tall to dribble because players will just swipe at his hands, and he's not really going to post you up a lot. So
no, he's not a ball handler.
He's not going to come in and be your 5'6".
He's a complementary player right now, and I don't see him leading or being the big dog coming off the bench. His opening line in the Denver Post, Mark Hisla's, was, "Why should the Nuggets waste the best year of Nikola Jokic's career on wishes and prayers that Michael Porter Jr. will grow up to be an all-star?" Huh. I mean, that's an interesting take after. I mean, again, Porter, I think, for the most part, I've liked his game. It's not obviously where you want it to be. I don't think Jamal's where you want it to be. He had the Jamal, but he's back game before the San Antonio game. But you're still gonna see games in between those monster games from Jamal where you go, okay, he's still kind of trying to get it right. Same is the case with Michael Porter Jr. The tough part is if that would guarantee that you improve your bench. But I like having Bruce Brown coming off the bench. And then Bones Highland, where you're working those two together, and if DeAndre Jordan can work out, I like that. I'd much rather see this situation where MPJ is starting. No, I'm not going there. Bruce Brown's a stud, though. I mean, he's been very good for Denver. But I'm not there yet. And I don't think Michael Porter Jr. is mentally ready to be a sixth man. It takes a mentally strong player when you think that you're starting five, but you're told you're going to be a sixth man. Can Michael Porter Jr. handle that? I don't know.
I mean, you think back, how long did it take him to get into the starting five?
Right. You don't rock that boat right now. Now, if it turns out Porter really struggles with this unit, then maybe you consider some kind of change, but I'm not seeing that right now. I mean, in 30 minutes for MPJ against the Spurs, he was 3 of 6 from the three-point line. He had 15 points, and he also, his plus-minus was plus 27. So coming off the Spurs game, you're not going to make any kind of crazy moves like that.
Not 10 games into your season. Like, you're still feeling this team out, and yeah, it's great to get wins over OKC and San Antonio, but those teams aren't really going to do much. You have to win against the Warriors and the Jazz and the Trailblazers.
And these
and we don't need Michael to score 30 points every night.
That's not the way this is going to be built up. I mean, you have enough weapons where it's not star heavy. You're not leaning on one mega star. Even though the Joker is the MVP, it just feels differently this year. It feels like it doesn't feel like Joker has to score 30 anymore to win. He scored 21 and the Nuggets blew out the Spurs.
Yeah, and when Jokic wants to turn it on and start scoring, he'll do it and he'll get 10 points like nothing.
Right.
He realizes, I don't need to be MVP Jokic right now.
No. And that's good and bad. I mean, if you were really pulling for Joker to just be Luka now and compete with him in the MVP, well, you're probably going to be sadly, you know, let down this year because Joker's not going to be the MVP this year. You have your weapons back and he doesn't need to be the MVP.
I'd rather win a title than get another MVP.
Well, you've already got your two. I mean, that's the thing. He doesn't have to win another one. Now the title, you pair that with two MVPs, and we're in business, and we're talking greatness for the Nuggets. So, yeah, been there, done that. You got your two MVPs. You don't need them. But guys like Porter are going to help that assist number. Joker's having no problem getting close to 10 assists now. That's easier for him because you have the scorers. Because Porter's off the, you know, the three-point line. Aaron Gordon's cutting to the basket. Jamal Murray's moving around. You have the players to help you with that assist total. So that's good. I'm not moving anything right now. I'm keeping it the same. Starting lineup's fine. Jamal, KCP, MPJ, Joker, Gordon, good. Bruce Brown first off the bench. Bones Highland right off the bench there. DeAndre Jordan, if he can give you real production there, 10 and 8 for him, 10 points and 8 boards against the Spurs. Yes, those are the meaningful minutes that you want to see. You're probably not going to see him every single night, but you want to see him on occasion when he comes off the bench for the Joker.
Yeah, you can also see, we talked about it, the chemistry between Bones and DeAndre Jordan. It showed up a little bit in that Spurs game.
Yeah, no, that was kind of cool to see it. You know, and maybe Jordan just one of those guys that gets better with this team as he gets going. 47 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, the NFL, crazy weekend. College football was kind of nutty as well. We've got some shakeups happening. Maybe when we get those college football playoff orders coming up soon. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Fire. 11:52 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question available at theholeshow.com. Who's going to be the best basketball team between the teams we cover, Colorado, Colorado State, Northern Colorado, or Wyoming this season? And did I read this right? Did I see this right? San Diego State joining the Pac-12. Is that happening?
Yes, a report from the Mountain West Wire on Twitter. San Diego State is looking to join the Pac-12.
How do we feel? That was obviously, you know, CSU fans were begging for this kind of opportunity. Do we see more Mountain West teams potentially look at Pac-12? I mean, is a Boise State there potential? I mean, obviously San Diego State has that California market that you're going to be losing with USC and UCLA. So that makes sense. Boise State has the success, but do they have the following? That's what you're looking at if you're a Pac-12 team, is you want to get, obviously, success, the following, all of that. And that's why this year was kind of, you know, again, it's Jay Norvell's first year with the Rams, young crew, all that stuff, but that's, you know, what the plan was, to start putting that best foot forward. It does give CSU hope down the road, I suppose, if you want to go up to that next level. But you got to have two things, success and the following. So that success has got to hopefully start coming, and then people got to get to those games.
Would also open up a spot in the Mountain West for a team like North Dakota State or Montana.
Or Montana. Hmm. That's interesting. Could very well see that happening. So what does that shakeup do? I'm sure we're going to have, we'll have Mike Brohard on the show tomorrow from CSURams.com. Get his thoughts there. Rough go for CSU, but still, I mean, when you walk away from the CSU game on Saturday, do you feel better about this program? They lost by 12. It was a 24.5-point spread, and the offense kind of looked like they were getting things going for the first time this season. Like, the whole stretch of the game.
Yeah, it wasn't quite Fort Air Raid, and it wasn't quite Fort Run Raid. It was a little balance of both. You saw Clay getting shots downfield. Morrow is continuing his success.
Yeah.
And then once you get that kind of effort together, your defense plays pretty well the entire game. And then it's just about winning close games.
Yep.
And well, that's going to come with experience.
You got up there. You know, you were down 21-10, and you got there on fourth and goal on the two, like 8 minutes left or something like that. Should they have kicked the field goal? It's weird because right before they went for it, I thought, why does this feel like four down territory? Even though, kick the field goal, you're down eight.
It's tough. We see this every single week in college, NFL, about coaching decisions and momentum, and everything kind of just depends on that moment, how you're feeling. Is the offense moving down the field? Do you have something in your back pocket that you've been working on that you could get going? But it's tough. You make a decision, and you have to play with whatever happens.
Yeah, it's weird because at that time, I'm thinking, and I tweeted, I was like, does it feel like four down territory? And I get it, kind of. You don't get it, though. San Jose State gets the ball back, turnover on downs. But then you get the stop, and you go down and score. Clay Mellon's running for his life, and he gets hit by his own offensive lineman. That's a rough look.
That's a Shaqt and a Fool segment there.
That was a bad hit. We're going to talk to Clay coming up. But that was bad enough for him to get pulled out for the rest of the game. You know, miss the rest of the game. Jackson Stratton comes in, and he chucks it downfield. Like, when he's in, very next play, right? Triple coverage on Torrey Horton.
Yep.
And Horton just rips it away and goes and scores. Like, that was crazy. And then Stratton was kind of rough the rest of the way through. But you made it, at that point, 21-16. So then people are freaking out going, dude, if you would have just kicked the field goal, you could have had another opportunity to make this thing at 21. Because it was 21-10. They score six, 21-16. You could go for two, which they did and they missed. But still, maybe it changes the mentality of the game where you really know that 2 points is the difference when you're down like they were when they got it. I don't know. Does it change everything? But it was a decision that didn't work out. And the Rams end up losing this one by 12. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got the Lunch Rush coming up next. Crazy weekend in the National Football League. We'll get to that. Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Bears, and so much more. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.